cavemen. That's what most of us think when we envision Neanderthals. The truth is, Neanderthals utilized language and tools, played musical instruments, possessed strong social ties, and practiced religious rites. So why the caveman perception? Stay tuned.
The Neanderthal people have received for well over 100 years very bad press.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Ever since the first remains were discovered in the Neander Valley of Germany in 1856, Neanderthals have been highly controversial among creationists and evolutionists. Were they hunched over savages or intelligent people with their own culture? Fully human or the missing link? Join us for the next 15 minutes as we take an amazing look into the world of the Neanderthal. David Phillips is a professor at the Master's College.
By the middle of the 1950s, a lot of scientists were suggesting that Neanderthals were a subspecies of basically modern humans. And this view gained momentum even with evolutionists and most creationists agreeing by the middle of the 1980s that Neanderthals were probably a subspecies of Homo sapiens.
Dr. Marvin Lubinow, author of the book Bones of Contention.
At first they were considered to be stupid and stooped, and only in the late 50s was it realized that when they were without disease, they could walk and stand as erect as you and I.
So what do we really know about Neanderthals? David Phillips.
There's a tremendous amount of evidence that reflects the fact that Neanderthals were not the brutish, half-witted, bull-legged, stoop-shouldered, half-man, half-ape type of individuals that are portrayed in all of our textbooks, but rather that Neanderthals were highly intelligent.
In the past, evolutionists claimed that Neanderthals were incapable of modern speech. However, many of their arguments have now been thoroughly refuted.
In 1983, one of the most complete Neanderthal skeletons ever found over in Kibera, which is in the Levant, in the Middle East, they found a hyoid bone. And that hyoid bone is a bone that fits underneath the tongue, helps the tongue to be able to construct vowels and so forth. And the hyoid bone of this particular Neanderthal skeleton is indistinguishable from modern humans. Therefore, the notion that Neanderthals could not speak every well as much as you and I has been thoroughly refuted.
There's overwhelming evidence that Neanderthals were musically inclined.
In 1996, for example, in a Neanderthal cave in Slavonia, was produced a small flute made from a thigh bone of a bear. And this had four precision-aligned holes punctured in it, which demonstrate that this indeed was a musical instrument.
Dr. Marvin Lubinow.
Many of these items were discovered in the Neander Valley of Germany, where the very first Neanderthal fossil was discovered in 1856. For instance, a tuba, musical instrument made from a mastodon tusk, what looks like a bagpipe made from in part from an animal bladder, a triangle and a xylophone made from hollowed out bone.
Additional cultural evidence comes from Neanderthal tool use. David Phillips.
Neanderthals used the same basic tool kits as anatomically modern Homo sapiens. They lived at the same time and even in the same general location, in particular the Levant. They both hunted the same game, butchered it the same way, and even practiced the same ceremonies, demonstrating Neanderthals that were at a high level of intelligence.
Neanderthals also formed strong social bonds.
There's strong evidence of complex social ties inferred from cases in which Neanderthal individuals that were crippled or unable to care for themselves were healed and therefore had to be cared for by others during the time of that healing. Otherwise, they would have easily died off. Therefore, Neanderthal values were not simply based solely on their ability to attain food or other physical tasks. The cultural evidence seems to strongly support the fact of Neanderthals' humanness.
Archaeologists and anthropologists realize that burial is a very religious act, that only humans do it, and that it represents a certain degree of refinement and civilization.
After all, there's tremendous evidence that they deliberately buried their dead. We have at least 36 Neanderthal sites that show evidence of intentional burial, and at least 20 fully complete Neanderthal skeletons found in these locations. This seems to demonstrate strongly that not only were Neanderthals intelligent, but they believed in life after death.
Another interesting fact about Neanderthals is the number buried in caves. Dr. Marvin Lubinow.
Of the 345 Neanderthal fossil individuals that have been discovered so far, at 83 sites in Europe, the Near East, and Western Asia, that 183 of them, that is 53%, represent burials. 53% of them were burials, and burial is not hard to, for an archaeologist, to determine whether it's a burial or just a death out in the open or something. And that all of these burials were in caves or rock shelters. And what is interesting is that the more I look into this, the more I realize that ancient peoples often used caves as burial sites. And this explains, in fact, the reason we have so many Neanderthal skeletons, I should say fossils, is because they were buried.
This is amazingly similar to how the ancient patriarchs buried their dead. In Genesis chapter 23, Abraham purchased a cave from the Hittites as a family burial plot after Sarah had died.
Well, then you read on a bit further in Genesis 25, and you discover that Abram was buried in that same cave. At the end of Genesis, we learn that not only were Abram and Sarah buried there, but Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah were all buried in the same cave, which Genesis 23:20 states that Abram purchased as a burial site. And, of course, most of these people, only Sarah died in that immediate area. Others had to be transported far away, and Jacob had to be brought up from Egypt. I didn't mean to imply that the patriarchs were Neanderthals. We have no idea what the relationship is of the people of Genesis to the Neanderthals. But the amazing thing is that the Neanderthal practice of burial and so on is exactly like what we find in Genesis. So it indicates, I think, the unity of the human race, which is what Paul speaks about in the book of Acts, about God creating of one blood all humans, and that if the Neanderthal skull shape is a result of living a long life, that would fit in very well with the idea that humans before the flood lived many hundreds of years, and that gradually tapered off. So there's no problem in fitting the Neanderthal into a biblical picture unless you start with anti-biblical concepts such as evolution.
Dr. Jack Quatso is author of a book on Neanderthals called Buried Alive. His research shows the ages of Neanderthals matches closely to the lifespans described in Genesis chapter 11.
Neanderthal features should go all the way back in history from the very first people. Because as we grow older, if we were to live to the biblical ages that they lived to, we would look identical to Neanderthals. Science has shown us that. We have many studies that have pointed this out, that if we lived to 500 to 600, say just say 600 as Shem was, we would have a big brow ridge, we would have a very prominent face and teeth that protruded and jaws that came forward, and our chin would flatten out, we'd have a point towards the back of our head. It would be kind of flat, but rather long, the whole cranium, the head would be. And so we'd have this, and a sloping forehead back, we'd have this Neanderthal look.
Dr. Quatso also found that Neanderthal children looked a lot like modern children, except their faces were much smaller. This, however, creates a problem for evolutionists.
The Neanderthal children, they look very much like our children, with the exception that their faces were very small. This is where I found a huge problem in paleoanthropology. What has happened is the anthropologists themselves know that the Neanderthal children are very, very different than the adults. But that doesn't make for evolutionary history, because if we came from apes, the ape children look like the ape adults to a certain extent. They have protruded faces, and they have the same kind of heads. So the Neanderthal children, and this is where I found the difficulties, were made to look like adults by moving their jaws around. And this has shown to the public, or at least the public now believes, that these children were identical to the adults, in which they were not. They hid the small faces because I think every time they saw a very tiny face, what it means, a very immature child. See, the face grows over a long period of time. The cranium grows on a separate schedule, meaning the brain tissue, from the facial tissues. It's like a two different parts. And as the face grows, it tells us as it goes along how much time it's taking. We can go back into history and compare these children with our children and get a rough idea of how long it took their faces to grow. From what I've calculated, it took them anywhere from, say, 25 to perhaps maybe even 30 years to become an adult, meaning that that would be equivalent to, say, our 17 or 18-year-old, and they would lose their baby teeth somewhere in their late 20s.
What does all this knowledge of Neanderthals mean to us as Christians?
This has bolstered my faith tremendously. Actually, I started this process out because I had so many doubts about the veracity of the biblical explanation in Genesis about a man and a woman and a snake that talked. And I looked at this thing very carefully over the last 20 years, and I have found every time I have been in a museum and seen the actual fossils that the Bible was confirmed in every way. From the skin of the tooth that Job talked about, and we actually have a skin on our tooth, all the way to the ages of the men in Genesis, there's no contradictions there at all with the scientific methods that we have used and applied to this. Now, we don't prove Scripture, obviously. Scripture is the highest authority, but what we can do is support it by these scientific facts, and that's merely what I'm doing. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away, and that's what I truly believe. And he also said in his high priestly prayer to his father in John 17:17, he said, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." This has become a fact for me in my life. His word is truth. I have found that in my studies. I know that to be an absolute, and this is something I cannot waver on because I have seen it backed up time and time again. The Bible is true. We should look at it from the standpoint of being spiritually true, obviously, but also scientifically and historically accurate as well.
Thanks for joining us for today's program on Neanderthals. We'd like to offer you one of Dr. David Phillips' articles entitled "Neanderthals Are Still Human." It's impact article number 323, or you can look it up on our website at www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800, the number 7, and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.